Would it surprise you to hear me say that I sometimes lack confidence in my own prayers? That when I pray, there are regular times where I have sincere doubts as to whether God will hear my prayer and answer my petition. And the reason for my lack of confidence is straightforward. As we read our Bibles, we see that there are certain conditions in place in order for our prayers to be heard by God and answered by Him. I lack confidence in some of my prayers because I'm aware of the fact that not all of my requests conform to the conditions outlined in Scripture. Now as I say that God has placed conditions, and we have to meet those conditions in order to have certain prayers answered, I don't want you to hear me portraying God as being stingy. I don't want you to imagine that there's a reluctance to God to hear us or to answer our prayer. I don't want you to imagine that approaching God in prayer is like twisting a person's arm and that we need to coax God into giving us what we want. That's not what the Bible portrays. Quite the contrary, the Bible portrays God as being generous. The Bible portrays God as being eager to bless, eager to give, eager to provide, eager to bestow favor on His children. And yet God, in His infinite wisdom, has resolved to put in place certain conditions to be met as they relate to prayer. Now, my best explanation for why these conditions are put here by God, I think it's to prevent us from treating God as if He was some celestial genie that we go and we get our wishes fulfilled. I think it's to prevent us from treating God as if He was some supernatural vending machine where we put in our coins of prayer and we receive what we want. I wonder if God puts these conditions in place to protect us from ourselves. To protect us from ourselves because we lack the wisdom and we lack the knowledge to ask for those things that are truly good for us. C.S. Lewis used to regularly thank God for not answering all of his silly prayers. And I'm certain if we all looked back and examined our petitions before the Almighty over the last number of years, we would be able to identify petitions that we are so grateful that God did not answer. Now, the conditions put on prayer also explain why we don't always get what we ask for and why I sometimes lack confidence when I pray. And so my aim, friends, this morning is to have us walk through a series of scripture passages with a view of familiarizing ourselves with the primary conditions that need to be met if our prayers are going to be answered. Because I think that's what we all have in common, right? We want God to hear us. We want God to answer our prayers. So I hope to familiarize each of us with the way to get this done. Now, I don't want you to imagine that this is some kind of magic formula. That if you sit tight for 20 minutes, I'm going to roll out a special magic formula that will always work all of the time. That's not what I intend to do, but to roll out principles that can be gleaned from Scripture. For just as God has put in place physical laws that govern nature, so also He has put into place certain principles in order to govern the spiritual realm. Now we find one of these principles for prayer as we come to the end of 1 John. In verse 14 of chapter 5, this is what John says. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now of course the phrase "He hears us" is not a reference to mechanical hearing. It's not as if God has trouble hearing all the prayers of the people of this world. He can physically, if you will, hear every person at all times. The particular phrase of God hearing us is a very special phrase that we see throughout Scripture. To say that God hears us is to say that He is inclined to us. To say that God hears us is to say that He will answer our prayer in the affirmative. So you see, in this single verse, 1 John 5, verse 14, we have a promise and we have a condition. The promise is that God will hear your prayer. But the condition is that your prayer be in accordance with His will. Jesus gave us the exact same condition in John 14, 14, where He says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Notice Jesus doesn't say, "Ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you." He doesn't say that. He says, "Ask for anything in my name." There's a qualifier, there's a condition. And if we meet that condition, we get it. You probably already know that to do something in someone else's name means that you're doing it the way they would do it. To do something in someone else's name is to take on the role of ambassador. And as the role of ambassador, you don't represent yourself, but another. And you act and speak as they would. Accordingly, our prayers should not be merely about what we want, but our prayers should primarily be about what Christ wants. Now, thankfully, what we want and what Christ wants do not always have to be at odds with one another. I fear that we sometimes imagine this, that we imagine it's either going to be my way or God's way, and those two things are separate. But it doesn't have to be this way. Let me give you an example from everyday experience. As a father of a young daughter, a young lady, I know what it's like for Anya to tap me on the shoulder in a store and to say, "Papa, I'd like that bag of candy." It's this giant bag of candy, just loaded with sugar. I'd have to peel her off the ceiling if I gave it to her. So she petitions me. She makes a request, a sincere request, for a sincere desire, "Papa, will you buy me that bag of candy?" And I say, "No way, not a chance." Now, is that because I'm grumpy? Well, maybe that's part of it, but that's not all of it. I have her best interests in mind. Now, similarly, I've had a situation where Anya says, "Papa, will you slice up some fruit for me? Cut some apples or some oranges for me?" And immediately, I oblige her request. Why? Because Anya's wishes are in accordance with my wishes. She has asked me to give her something that I'm eager for her to have. Similarly, God is eager to give you that which will truly benefit you. But so often what we ask for is the spiritual equivalent to a bag of candy. We wonder, why hasn't He given us what we wanted? God is eager to give you that which will truly benefit you. And He promises to give us those things which are in accordance with His will. Now, before we finish this morning, I want to give you a number of things, examples, where God clearly lays out what He wants us to ask for. Where God gives us some things where He says, if you ask for this, you will get it 100% of the time. But first, I think it's important that we ask whether there are any other conditions than the first one I've given to you, that we ask in accordance with God's will. Are there any other conditions that need to be met for our prayers to be answered? Indeed, there are. Now, this is my list gleaned from Scripture, so it's not exhaustive. But I want to bring you four conditions for answered prayer, clearly found in Scripture. The first is from our current text. The first condition is that our request must be in accordance with God's will. The second condition for answered prayer We need to be living in close proximity to Jesus Christ. Third condition, our request must be made with pure motives. And don't worry, I'll go through each of these in turn. And the fourth condition, we need to be generous toward the poor and the oppressed. So we've already spent some time looking at the first condition. So now we move to the second condition for answered prayer, which is we need to be living in close proximity to Jesus Christ. Where did I get this? Right from John 15, verse 7. Jesus says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." So you see, Jesus is saying, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and if you're abiding in me, and if my words are abiding in you, you're going to ask for some things, and because of your proximity to me, I will give you what you asked for. Jesus uses this analogy of a vine and branches to illustrate the need for us to be dependent upon Jesus Christ. And I think this principle of proximity flows naturally from the first petition, or the first condition rather, for answered prayer. If, for example, if you're struggling, to make requests that are in accordance with God's will, could it be that it's because you're not living in close proximity to Christ? Could it be that you're having so much difficulty figuring out what God wants because it has something to do with the distance between you and Him? We know from personal experience that when you live in close proximity to someone, you become very familiar with what they like and what they don't like, with the things that bring them pleasure and the things that bring them pain. I can give you another personal example. If I take my wife Allie out for dinner, if this doesn't happen, I mean, we go for dinner, but she never asks me to order for her. But if Allie says, "Bryn, I'd like you to order my dinner tonight," I am extremely confident that I could order a dinner for Allie that she would love, that she would eat every morsel, that she would be grateful that I ordered something that was exactly to her suiting. This is because I live in close proximity to Allie and have done so for 18 years of marriage. I have a good handle on what she likes and what she doesn't like because of proximity. Now imagine you're meeting someone for lunch and you don't know them very well. Would you order them their meal? Would you have the same confidence that you would get them something they like? I can tell you, I had a negative experience with this. It was a few guys, we had just come from the hockey rink in Toronto, and a few guys going out, and I thought, you know, it was a good idea. We just played hockey. We eat the kind of food that hockey players eat. So I ordered a bunch of chicken wings for the little group of us. And I found out after the wings arrived, and one of the gentlemen wasn't eating, that he was a vegetarian. And I did not know this. And I think it might have bothered them that I didn't take a moment to ask what they would like to eat. I presumed they would like chicken wings, and I ordered it. And I felt badly, but I learned that this principle holds true. If we live in close proximity to someone, we know what they want. We know what they need. But a stranger, we don't know. And so it is our best hope for requesting what Christ likes, our best hope for requesting what Christ approves, is when we are living in close proximity to Him. That's the second condition. The third condition for answered prayer I've taken right out of James 4:3, that we ask with pure motives. James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." I don't know about you, but that's a tough one for me, because I think we're all prone to ask for that which we want, right? We ask God for things we desire, and James is asking us to check our motives. Now, to be fair, to some degree, to some degree, our prayer will be related to our needs. That's normal, that's natural, that's even prescribed in Scripture. Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So clearly it's okay at some level to pray for what we need. But James warns us, if our primary focus is on building our personal kingdom, if our primary focus is on elevating our name, we shouldn't expect God to answer our prayers. And again, you could say that the first petition and the third condition are related. The first condition states it positively. Ask for that which matches what God wants. And the third petition is, don't ask for things merely based on what you want. Ask with pure motives, says James. The fourth condition for answered prayer has a totally different character than the other three. The fourth condition says that we need to be generous toward the poor and the oppressed. And what's different about this condition is that it gives no reference to how we pray and gives no reference to how we relate to Jesus Christ. But what we find, however, is that how we behave towards those who are suffering is massively relevant to whether God will hear us. This is huge. How we behave toward those who are suffering is massively relevant to whether God hears our prayers. In Isaiah 58, we read about God objecting to the prayers of His people because of the way they were treating one another, because they were ignoring the needs of the poor. It's worth reading again. The Lord says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, here am I. Do you see the eagerness of God in that passage? God longs for you to live and to pray in such a way that He says, here I am to help. Here I am to deliver. Here I am to grant you what you need. It goes on. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. And your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Friends, I want you to have confidence when you pray. I want you to have confidence that not only can God answer you, but I want you to have the confidence that He's inclined to answer you. But to have such confidence, we need to conform to certain principles. We need to align with certain conditions. Our request must be in accordance to the will of God. We need to be living in close proximity to Jesus Christ. We need our requests to come from pure motives. We need to be kind and generous to the poor and the oppressed. Now, before I leave you, I wouldn't want you to imagine that the will of the Lord is a dark mystery. I wouldn't want you to think that the will of the Lord is a difficult puzzle. Jesus has left us with a number of very clear things that we can pray for and be assured, 100% assured, that God will give us those things. Do you remember what Jesus says to Simon Peter in Luke 22? He says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But Jesus did what? He says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So one of the things we can pray is for the strengthened faith of our brothers and sisters. And we often get to hear from the duty elder, and I'm so grateful that essentially what you hear from them is they're praying that my faith will not fail, that it will be strengthened. But we need to pray that for one another, knowing that God will strengthen your faith if you pray that for yourself and for one another. Matthew 9:38, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. That's an exhortation. But I think there's a promise in there that if we ask for laborers for the harvest, God will answer that, absolutely. Luke 11:16, Jesus tells us to pray for the Holy Spirit. And He does so in such a way as to indicate that God is eager to give you His Spirit. Eager to give you His Spirit so that you will obey Him. That you'll be strengthened to do His will. That you'll be filled with His joy. God is eager to give His Spirit 100% of the time. Look at the long prayer of Jesus in John 17. Jesus says, I'm praying for unity among believers. He's praying that the joy of Christ will be in each of us. He's praying for protection from evil. Friends, if you pray for those things, God will absolutely give them to you. Pray for strengthened faith. Pray for laborers for the harvest. Pray for protection from evil. Pray for unity. Pray for joy. Pray for the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that there are certain things, those things, and probably many others, there are certain things that God is determined to give to you. Things that He will assuredly give to you if you ask Him. The reason I sometimes lack confidence in my prayers is because I'm often requesting things from God that He has not promised to give me. I often request things from God that He has not promised to give me. Well, naturally, we're going to pray for friends and family members who are unwell. That's normal. That's natural. Naturally, we're going to pray for fractured relationships and ask that God would mend them. Naturally, we're going to pray for safety and comfort. But we pray for those things, hopefully with the understanding that God may have a different idea. And that God ultimately knows what is best. That's not something we may discern in this lifetime. But we humble ourselves knowing that we are finite. And He is infinite. We know some things. And He knows everything. We've been to a few places, but He occupies all time and space. We have a sense for what we need, but God knows perfectly. I am encouraged, and I hope you are, by the number of things we can pray for absolutely. I'm encouraged by the number of things God promises to give to His children. And my hope is that this will cause you to pray. My hope is that this will cause you to pray with confidence. Amen.